Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
And good day, good night. Welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Dwayne, before we start the show, when we start talking about Joseph Martinez and Victor Vasquez and other news of the day, Austin FC is now official. It was announced yesterday. And you remember when we made fun of FC Cincinnati? Well, I guess Austin FC took it even further.
Gotta up that ante. Gotta up that ante. 7-4 is not the score.
Yeah, it's the score, but it's not what we're singing. We're singing. It's the vote. It's the vote. Yes. It's going to be fun. You know, I know there's a tree in the design of the logo of that team. But when you say Austin FC, go, 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 and then vamos el tree, people think you're going to say go Mexico and not go the tree itself. So it's going to be confusing in the stands in Austin.
El tree, not el try.
I guess. But in Spanish, it's el tree. It's not el try. So maybe they tried, but I give him a fail in the first supporter songs.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, any time that your marketing team is leading you in supporter songs, you got some problems going on. You got to let those things happen organically. But there ain't nothing organic about Austin FC, often the tree, whatever you want to say. I'm going to say something controversial. I don't mind their logo. And I like the colors. It's similar to colors to Portland, but I kind of like that scheme. But yeah, it's I don't know. I always think orange with Austin too, but I guess I couldn't very well do that with Houston right there, right?
You can't do both. There's already three teams in Texas. Let's not confuse people more by putting two teams with the same color scheme.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Look, I mean, it is what it is. It's happening. We all have our feelings about it. I saw someone on Twitter today ask whether, you know, the way MLS fans think about Austin, is that how the rest of the world thinks about MLS? And there's some, if you follow that, there's some truth to it, I guess. It's like, this is a confusing and weird thing that doesn't make any sense to us. It makes us a little uncomfortable. That's kind of what Austin is. But, you know, we love MLS because MLS is bizarre, and you know, it can't be it's good stuff without some of its weirder stuff too, and this is one of those things, and it is what it is. It's going to happen. It's going to a couple years for us to work our way into it, and once they start adding players and that, this will be long forgotten, because yeah, you know, by that point Columbus will be hopefully going in the right direction. I heard a couple interviews with Cale Porter in the last few days where he's talking about increased investment. That's something that comes up a lot. He also talks a lot about how he golfed and when he was away. He has like sort of stock answers and what he did for his year off, and apparently he's not a very good golfer. I've heard three interviews with him, and he talks about it in all three. But yeah, we'll see. Columbus going in the right direction. That's the important thing here. You know, this team is just another expansion team and a market that I don't necessarily think that they would have went into unless it was forced, but hey, made the bed, so now they lie in it.
And let's talk about Major League Soccer. Let's talk about current players. One on his way out, and one decided to stay 5 years longer. Let's start with Joseph Martinez, Dwayne. Were you surprised this morning when Atlanta announced that their golden boot, the golden boot of Major League Soccer in 2018, extended his contract? Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 years. 5 years contract extension for Joseph Martinez.
Am I surprised? No. I will be surprised if he stays all 5 years. And that's most people that are thinking about it sort of say the same thing. This is Atlanta protecting an asset. This is Atlanta. Well, he's 25. So, you know, he's not exactly, you know, when Almiron is younger, obviously, when you look at a guy like Davies that moved out, these are true assets in the sense that they're going to get big trade numbers or big transfer numbers. But, you know, Martinez, if he has a couple more seasons like he's had in a Major League Soccer, he could probably make a move back to Venezuela or somewhere in South America for a decent transfer fee to recoup some of this. And they, you know, Atlanta benefits in the meantime from having one of their big stars stick around. You know, obviously this makes him good. He's a very effective MLS scorer. He's not a player that, he's already a player that's played in a big league and hasn't really made an impact. He had, what, like 8 or 9 goals and 50 some appearances for Torino. That's okay, but it's not exactly ripping it up in the same way he's ripping MLS up. So it's not like he's going to move to a bigger league. So this is them protecting that asset. So at the tail end of that transfer, they will probably move him, I suspect, because Atlanta seems to want to stay young. And in the meantime, they have a player that they can build their marketing team around, that they can continue to get success from in the immediate future in MLS. It's a good move for both parties. I suspect he's well compensated, too. I haven't seen the numbers. But.
Well, it's about $6 million a year from what has leaked. So $6 million a year for Yosef Martinez, Golden Boot of 2018, MVP, and one of the best players in the league. So at least we're going to be watching him play for at least a few years before either Atlanta sells him or he finishes a contract with Atlanta. Yeah. But 5 years, yeah, it's a very, very long contract for Major League Soccer. We don't see those long-term contracts all too often.
Yeah, no, for sure. But again, I think that reflects the new changing realities of the league, that whenever they have a player that they think is an asset, that they are going to lock him up, because, you know, if they let him go after three, they're letting him go for free, right? I mean, look, the TFC's facing it. We talked about this yesterday with Javinko and with Josie, that are all at the end of their runs, and TFC basically is in a situation where they can't get any benefit from them, so they ride out their year and decide whether they want them back or not. And if they don't come back, they're not getting anything for them, and that is probably a mistake that they made. And I think the new direction of the league will reflect more contracts that are longer for stars, so that at the end, if you do want to move on, you at least can get a little bit of transfer back for them. A couple million goes a long way in Major League Soccer and allows you to, you know, ease that transition from that star. You know, at that point is fading. It's a good move for them. I would be surprised if he spends all five there. If he does, and that means he's been effective throughout it, there's a good chance he might, you know, be challenging for the all-time goal-scoring lead at that end, because this is a player that has demonstrated that he can score. The only question I have on the field is he is more of a poacher than he is a creator, so take that sort of talisman away from Atlanta's lineup, and maybe he does. I don't think he gets 30 again, because he did slow down in the second half of the season too. Yeah. But you know, maybe he doesn't even get 20 if you have that, like I say, the creator that's moved away from that team. But Atlanta has the investment that they're probably going to bring others in. So yeah, you know, AU is going to be in more MLS Cup finals. I don't think there's much doubt about that.
Especially if Pity Martinez comes in to take over the spot of Miguel Almiron. If Miguel Almiron is eventually sold before the beginning of the training camp, which has already started for Major League Soccer teams who do have Champions League game. Either it started this week or it's starting next week, but Major League Soccer camps already upon us, Dwayne.
Yeah, well, yeah, we saw the TFC boys up there standing in their parkas outside the, you know, it's not called Kia anymore, but the training grounds yesterday. So it's certainly, I'm looking out at the snow on the ground and thinking it's a bit weird that in 34 days the stadium will be open. But it's the reality of MLS. It's just going to be like this even more. Training camps are going to probably open around Christmas next year. So
why stop? Just continue. Like, okay, November 10th, the season's over. Let's train every day until the season starts again. Why stop?
It is going to be interesting, actually, when you think about it. They are talking about starting near the 1st of February, which means they're going to have to back everything up, but you're backing into the Christmas season at that point. So, like, when do you start camps? It's going to be a challenge for them next year, and I suspect that what's going to be sacrificed is the length of time you're in camp. So those early season games are going to be, well, trash is what they're going to be. But, you know,
they're going to be trash for everyone. So everyone's going to be trash, and everyone will have a chance to put some points on the board, especially if you have a team that knows each other, a team that has been playing with each other for a long time. So another way that the consistency of a roster will be paid off by MLS by winning early games in the season. We'll see if this happens, but we were talking about quickly about Toronto. You mentioned the Toronto boys with their parka outdoors of the training center in Vaughan. One player who won't be there this training camp, Victor Vadkas, it has been made official. He's on his way to Qatar. What do you think about Victor Vadkas, the transfer? But what did you think about Victor Vadkas as well for his tenure?
I mean, look, he will forever have a spot in Toronto fans' hearts because he was a massive key component to the 2017 championship team, MLS Cup, Supporters Shield, and Voyageurs Cup, the treble-winning team. He, you know, famously scored the goal that salted away, held his jersey up to the crowd at the end of that. This is not something that's going to be taken away, but, you know, you also, if you want to be logical about it, and I will admit that even in yesterday's show when we first brought up this possibility, I wasn't particularly logical. I was more emotional about it because he was a player that I think we think of as the, in 2017 terms, but in 2018 he was invisible. He wasn't around. And so you, when you look at his salary, which was over $1.5 million last year, they were using up basically all of their TAM for him. That prevented them from getting younger and prevents them from bringing in other players to complement that in positions that they might need him more. Because the other factor involved in this, and I know that there are, you know, they're frustratingly to me, but there are a lot of TFC fans that remain reluctant to embrace the idea that Jonathan Osorio can replace a lot of what Victor Vasquez does, maybe not 100%, but 85% of it, at $1 million less a year, which will allow them to then maybe use the rest of the TAM that they can save from getting rid of Vasquez and getting a little bit more in the transfer to replace him. And I mean, Jansen is the player that is most likely to come in. He obviously has a history with them. He proved that he could score 4 goals in 10 appearances last year for TFC, mostly in a reserve role. So this is a guy that at only 24 years age that they wanted back and they could not afford to get back, that now they should be able to get back. And yesterday, Greg Banny did say that they quote-unquote remained hopeful that they could bring Jansen back into the fold, and that would be an obvious place. They, again, you have a player in Osorio that played in a more offensive kind of, he didn't replace him directly because no one can replace Victor Vasquez in MLS directly when he's at his playing on his game. But he did a lot of good things last year and proved that he could be an offensive creator. If you look at his passing numbers, and there were people arguing with me that he's not a playmaker, Osorio is on Twitter yesterday, which is ridiculous because he had the same amount of key passes per game as Javinko did. So yeah. I guess if he's not a playmaker, then Javinko isn't either. So there you go. I that replaces that, and you try and look at your lineup logically. They've addressed the back line in their minds with Simon coming in. They need more depth up front because, you know, it's not a matter of if Josie gets hurt.
That's when.
Now it's when. So they need another forward.
Is it going to be in the spring, in the summer, in the winter, all of the above? When did Josie Altidore get injured? This is your new question that every Toronto FC fan asks themselves every season. And we'll see where it actually happens. And the other news coming out of Toronto, Dwayne, and I have a bit more details for you than you actually let me know in our discussion earlier today by text, is Javinko had an offer to leave Toronto, go back to Serie A, actually. And the offer was not a transfer offer. Bologna FC, club of Joey Saputo, wanted to bring Sebastian Javinko to Serie A to help Bologna stay up in the second part of this season. But unfortunately, Bologna was not in the position to give a transfer to Toronto, which stopped the negotiation. But there was a contract on the table for Javinko, apparently, from Bologna FC. So I guess Joey Saputo wanted to make his Serie A team better by getting Javinko and make his Montreal team better by getting Javinko off Toronto.
Yeah, I don't think Joey really thought that he could afford the transfer fee that TFC would want, so I think he's just screwing with TFC with that, which is funny. I'll give full credit to him if that's what he was doing.
That would have been a genius move, seriously. Like, genius move. Imagine if Manchester United, example, buys the biggest player of New York City FC that's on the way to going to Manchester City, and then United buys him just before they get the MLS Cup or something. That would have been almost the thinking behind Bologna getting Giovinco from TFC, but that would have been impressive because Bologna is not doing too well this year. They're in a relegation battle. There were some weeks they're in relegation zone, some weeks they're just one or two position over, but Bologna FC will need some help, but it won't be coming from Javinko.
Yeah, well, look, I think anyone who thinks about it would realize that Sebastian Javinko could still do a role for one of those lower table, like a Torino, or that'd be because he would have been crossing a divide there, but a team that, and Torino's doing better this year too. I'm just contradicting myself as I talk here, but you know what I mean.
Sassuolo, you know, teams like Sassuolo that are better than supposed to this year that could help, like could use the help of a Jovinko, which is maybe 5-6 goals in the second half of the season. That makes a difference between one win and three wins, and sometimes 6 points is the difference between relegation or mid-table. So there you go.
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely. Look, there's no doubt that even in his age right now, Jovinko still has another contract game. It's up to whether TFC wants to keep him in Toronto or not, and I do honestly believe that they will evaluate that honestly and forthrightly internally when they this year. I don't believe that it's a done deal that he won't be back. Because I do, as I say, think he has more to give. He still produces, and he obviously is a big marketing figure for TFC too, and that's important to you know, especially if they're going to go through a bit of a rebuild, which we all think they probably might. Then after this season is over, then having Jovinko around for one or two more years would not be the worst thing I could think of. So they're going to look at it objectively, but it's going to depend on the money that they want to spend too. You know, MLSE, I think, by hiring Ali Curtis and the direction of the league as well, is likely looking to get younger and more in the selling market and less in they were going to buy the superstars market, which, look, that's people outside Toronto might look at what Toronto did and say, quote unquote, they bought a title or whatever. Well, perhaps, but that's how you win titles. Atlanta bought their title too, right? They just bought a different type of player. And it's also, when you look back in the history of 2014, yeah, 2015, and what TFC was, they absolutely needed to do what they did. And now they're not in the same position. They weren't ever going anywhere, but they're solid now. They have solidly found their way in the market. They have proven that they can win a championship. They now are in the next phase of their evolution, which is how you move on from what was, you know, a golden generation, without a doubt, you know. Two MLS Cup appearances, a Supporters Shield, yeah, three Voyageurs Cups, a Champions League final. God knows what happens this year.
Don't forget.
It's a golden generation. They're going to have to move on at some point.
Don't forget the pear on the pear tree.
There you go. Yeah, they did well. This was not the terrible football club.
Three Voyageurs Cup, two MLS Cup final, and one parrot on a pear tree.
Exactly. So, yeah, but they're going to have to move on. But the point is, and I think Josie's all but gone at the end of this year for the very reason that we just touched on a minute ago. It's the same reason and a lot of reasons that Vasquez is gone, is that you can't be paying that kind of money to a guy that's only there half the time. Even when he is there, he's brilliant. And Josie Altidore has been the key to everything TFC has been successful at. He really has. He was the key to getting the CCL final last year. He was the key to winning a MLS Cup. He scores the big goals. He has proven his worth in every way except one, and that one is what's going to bite him in the butt there. And I don't know where Josie's next move is either, because everyone knows this about him. Unless he's willing to play in Toronto for less money. That's what it comes down to.
But where do you go, though, from here? That's a question. Do you accept to play the USL? Well, Josie's way better than the USL. Where do you go? Or would you go to Europe? Go back to
Eredivisie, he would find someone in MLS, but it's how much he's willing to pay for, really.
Yeah. And you were mentioning for a second how you hear sometimes people complaining about Toronto buying a championship, right? I never heard about Real Madrid fans complaining about or the anti-fans complaining about buying a championship. Do we talk about Bayern Munich about buying championships? Are we saying Manchester City bought the title?
Some people are, but
no, yeah, but it's not as loud. That comment is not as loud as we hear in Major League Soccer for Toronto buying their 2017 yeah championship. It's all the case around the world.
Let me honestly ask any Impact fan listening. If Joey was to go drop $20 million tomorrow and take the Impact to the MLS Cup final, would you really be that upset about it?
No, I'd be like, you're damn right, son. There we go. Yeah. Title game. Come on, let's go. Time to raise a trophy. That's 100. Where I would go with it. That's where I would go with it. I'm like, yeah, no worries, Joey. Thank you for buying this team. Thank you for buying those players. And we'll see you in November. And I guess that's what the great thing about is there's going to be different ways to build a team in Major League Soccer in 2019. And I don't expect Joey to drop $20 million on roster and on transfers, but we'll see.
No, you got to build it in different ways, as you say. But look, the other part of this too, when you look at this from the Vasquez move, if this was not a salary cap league, they'd probably keep him around because he has proven that he has worth. And if he's injured, he's injured. But you can't afford to be holding those assets like that when you are handicapped by the cap. We saw it last year. Toronto's problem last year was not talent, it was injury. And, you know, and that's not an excuse. They had an abnormal amount of injuries. Like, anyone who objectively looks at it knows this, but it was because they were relying on older guys. So now they have to rethink that a little bit and keep that, take that more into consideration, particularly when they're still playing the same amount of competitions in a more condensed schedule this year. So having guys on the roster that are injury likely is
prone, injury prone, very, very injury prone.
Yeah, I mean, Vasquez, basically his high level career was derailed by injury, and then he was injured last year too, and he's not getting younger. So they just, you know, they know that they're going to be playing an abnormally large amount of games in the early part of the season. They're going to be doing the same thing. You know, if they go as deep in the CCL as they want, they're going to be flying to Mexico a couple times again, and they're going to be flying to Panama at least once. Like, this is, you know, this is something that sets people up for injuries when they're on the wrong side of 30. And it's unfortunate because, as I say, Vasquez will always have a place in the heart of TFC fans, just like Giroux does, and just like all of those guys, Toast, all those guys that were on that championship team. But we're now 2 years on, coming into the second season on, and it's time to start moving forward in a different ride. There's still one more year left of this ride, but it's going to be, as I said yesterday, one that can, you know, if they're not going, if they're not trending in the right direction come July, I can totally see TFC making some moves then. I can see Giovinco moving to back to Italy, or, you know, where else I think Giovinco could make a good move in would be Liga Maxi. I think he would be an interesting prospect down there to a lot of Mexican teams. Yeah. So I could see them doing that if they're not trending in the right direction in July, but still a lot of time before then.
To finish the show today, Dwayne, I just want to a little bit set the table for tomorrow's Two Solitude Soccer podcast. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the new format of the Canadian Championship, of course. We'll talk about a new few signings from Canadian Premier League teams. And apparently, we'll get one more from Cavalry FC today. We just had one from the Wanderers a little bit earlier today. Yes, Hassin, former Montreal Impact Academy player, product, played for as well... University of Montreal back then, I believe, and was playing in Europe in second division as a pro, and is on his way back home. He used to play for FC Montreal too, back in the heyday, back in the day where we had an academy team here.
When you had Montreal. An FC Montreal.
Sorry?
When you had an FC Montreal.
Yeah, when it was like something. But this goes really well with the idea of Zachary Secunda signing for Halifax Wanderers. The Wanderers are taking the motto of bringing Canadians back home, literally, and achieving it. Either that or a foursome of players from Trinidad and Tobago, which my new favorite player in the entire world has been signed by Wanderers FC last week, and that is Elton John. Yes, the Rocket Man himself.
Rocket Man.
He has been signed.
It's like we all knew that wasn't original as soon as we said it, but we had to say it nonetheless.
It's his nickname. What do you want to do about it? It's like he's embracing it. Why not us? I really, really hope that the supporters are singing like, you know, in stands, or maybe a Rocket Man, or Don't Let the Sun.
Save the rest for our Elton John podcast. Halifax, the other thing about this from a footballing perspective is that they're clearly building from the back out, which is, you know, not unheard of. That's a pretty normal way to try and build a team. And this guy, what you need to know about the guy they signed today is that he's 6'5".
He's a big body
in the back. So
he's going to be in the box on corners and on free kick trying to finish that route one. And you know what? I think route one is going to be a very popular tactic in year one of the Canadian Premier League.
Yeah, we've already heard suggestions that that's what the plan is in BC with Pacific. They've signed players yesterday, all BC players. The Hippie Chivas model is continuing. We'll see whether they're going to be all in on that with 100% or whether it's going to be more like a 90% thing. But they're clearly a BC team.
The Chivas of the kayakers and the outdoorsmen are going to be... Yeah. playing in Van Aal, or if you prefer Victoria. But no, I'm getting excited for this damn thing. We're 3 months away from the launch of the Canadian Premier League. We're getting more and more players. Some of them we know, like Zay Jack, who signed for Forge FC in Hamilton. And others we don't, but that's the beauty of this league. And, you know, I'm getting more and more excited about this thing started this year. And we'll talk about it all year long on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, which you can subscribe to for $2 a month, 50 cents a show on patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Dwayne?
100%. Yeah, it's always fun talking with the Canadian Premier League, and I agree with you. It's getting exciting. I have a tracker on my Twitter feed. You could read one of the Canadian Premier League's site as well. There's a Reddit forum that started that you can get the information from if you're really, really a geek about this. Actually having conversations with people about the teams in ways that aren't just theoretical, it's fun. And it's going to, you know, you see all those Canadian flags beside the signings too, and that's what it's about. And yeah, in the early days, the Finnish second division is not going to make you, you know, get too excited, but if you got to start somewhere, and I think that this will very quickly, we will, you know, we won't lose that talent anymore, and I think very quickly we're going to see the overall talent of the league improve, and we're all going to be around for that first season, which is going to be a lot of fun, and we're 4 months away or so that is exciting.
I hope Yann Fillion, former FC Montreal goalkeeper who plays in Europe as well in the second division in one of those Scandinavian countries, I hope he comes back too, right? I hope all those expats that I've seen grow up in the USL or in academies of Major League Soccer teams or in other program like Sigma, and I've gone abroad to perfect to better their trade. I kind of hope that they all answer the call and come back home. And well, it's looking like this, anyways.
Well, not to completely ruin our show for tomorrow, $2 a month, you can subscribe to that, and it's just much to ask for, guys, first, because it takes a lot of digging for us to do this. But one of the trends we are seeing is a lot of those academy kids, Pacific, the three signings they signed yesterday, were all Vancouver Whitecaps academy guys. They came back on freeze, so they weren't paying a transfer fee for them, so that means that they were out of contract. They weren't going to be involved in the Vancouver Whitecaps system anymore, and in the past that would have meant that maybe they went to CIS or U Sport. Maybe they retired. What happened in the past. Now they continue. Stop playing. Now they have a second chance.
I remember a lot of players. Alex Soprana, former player of the Montreal Impact, before the MLS days, he just stopped playing and started making hats. And he's now one of the best hat makers in Montreal. But, you know, you never know. Sometimes a career is just one decision away. Like, the end of your career could be just one decision away. Of course, you could be one bad injury away. But it could be just like, well, I don't have a contract. Nobody's offering me any contract. I was making $40,000 a year anyways, playing in the USL or in second, third division somewhere in the world, and have a lot of expense because of what I want to do. Is it worth it? Should I just go and use my degree that I've earned and trying to earn a living and start a family? So that decision sometimes comes really early in your career, and it's never an easy decision to take.
The other thing quickly about this before we leave it and leave the rest for Two Solitudes is the one thing that was quietly announced is that teams are going to be allowed to carry about five, six, around that level of non-roster players that can train with them that are local kids. And I think what that's going to really do is just keep that 17, 18, 19-year-olds in a professional environment quicker, because this is sort of they can't afford to get start academies in the same way that you would see an MLS right off the start. So this is kind of the reserve
team. It's a 5-7-man reserve team.
Yeah, and because of the unique agreement with U Sport up here, which is the NCAA equivalent in Canada for any of our American listeners, because they have an ability where they don't lose their eligibility by doing those kind of training activities, which they would in the NCAA, those kids can train and play for their university teams. And then eventually, if they want to get signed, they can do that as well. So they can get that education. They can sort of be supported in that way. And it's I think, just going to benefit the overall system. And I do. We've seen in Canada for years that the trend up here has been for our prospects, fewer as they may be, to turn pro quite faster. And I think that that's just going to increase faster than the United States, I'm referring to. It's just going to increase even more so with the Canadian Premier League.
Yeah, it will be. And it'll be fascinating. And you can hear Dwayne and I talk even more about Canadian soccer once a week, usually on Thursdays, on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for patrons only, available at patreon.com/sports podcasting network. I think that's going to be all for today, Dwayne. You know, it's interesting, but Major League Soccer, it never stops, Dwayne.
Yeah, just real quickly, we did mention 2 days ago that new women's team in Regina, we have been working with them to get an interview booked, which will probably be on Two Solitudes next week. The gentleman, Hugh Dooley's his name, that's the TD out there, he's been ill, so he hasn't been able to do it just because he's been sick. So we're going to get that next week. So there's some women's content on that, and hopefully we see more movement on the women's side of the game, Kevin.
We're going to talk about Regina. Experience Regina.
There you go.
All right, a favorite city that I've never been to. I don't know. I've never been there. But apparently it's okay. So we'll keep an eye on Regina. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame, and tomorrow for patrons only, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork, you'll hear Dwayne and I talk about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only. Until then, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.